seated, please. Let us pray. Father, we come to your word and we ask you to speak to us. We cannot interpret nor understand your word without your spirit. So we pray that you will pour your spirit upon us, that your word may become alive to guide us, to direct us, to show us your will and your way, and reveal your love to us as your children. Come to us in the living word, even Christ our Lord. Amen. The Old Testament lesson from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, beginning our reading at the 11th verse. This is where God is showing the children of Israel what he is going to do as they inherit the promised land that God is setting before them. Here begins the reading of God's holy word from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11. Now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So far, God speaking to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. He speaks to us now in the gospel according to St. John, reading from John's gospel, chapter 4, beginning at verse 43. Jesus heals the official son in this portion of scripture. After the 2 days he left for Galilee, now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And when he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a royal official whose son lay sick in Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus replied, you may go. Your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and all his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Speak to us, Father, as we apply your word to our lives. Help us to do that by your Spirit, that we may see you as you guide us and direct us, but more importantly, as you teach us and uphold us. This we ask in the name of Christ. Amen. I remember the bumper sticker very well. It was indelibly printed into my mind as a young person growing up in Iowa. Most of the cars that I would see had the same bumper sticker. Remember Pearl Harbor. I wonder how many of today's young people could tell us what Pearl Harbor is all about. In my first years in New York, when I came from Muskegon, Michigan, one of the things that we did was go to the library of the President of the United States called Franklin Delano Roosevelt, where I stood and read off of the yellow paper the note that he had taken for himself when he would announce to this country that we were at war with China or with Japan and other countries. He had written in there, "This is a tragic day." And then he crossed that out and said, "This is a day of infamy." There's a long period of time that passes from that point when that comes to be a reality in those things which were there in the bombing of Pearl Harbor to another day of infamy on September the 11th. Both are days of infamy in the life of this nation. And what lies between those two points, to me, is something that is now being ignored and almost forgotten, and then God comes to us and says, pause. Remember. Slowly take in all of the things that are around you. Soak it up. Make it a part of your life. And as you do that, you will remember my goodness and my care. My concern is that we're in trouble in both areas of our country today. We no longer know how to pause, and we certainly don't remember. Everything has to be moving all of the time. Something has to be going on in our life at any given time in our existence. And very few of us will find in our lives the time when we can sit down and let everything go. It's called meditation. It's called prayer. It's called silence. It's called pausing. And if we pause, then we have to remember. And we cannot remember unless we pause. Over and over and over again in the scriptures, God tells his people to pause in their life. And in their journey that they're now involved in the wandering in the wilderness, they are to stop and look around and see what is happening and what is taking place. They complain to God because they don't have any water. And then they pause. And Moses strikes the rock, and there's water flowing from the rock. They complain because they don't have bread. And God says to them, pause and look around tomorrow. You'll find it all over the place. It's called manna. Then they complain because they don't have meat. And God says, pause and look around you. And the ground was covered with quails. Every time the children of God paused, they learned something about God. And you and I need to do that in the same way. God tells them to build altars in the places where things happen and to remember all of those things and those events around what they are now pausing to see. They pause as they come out of the Red Sea on the other side in dry land. And they build an altar. They pause when they come over the River Jordan and go into the land that God has promised to them. And there they build an altar to remind them that they have crossed two bodies of water on dry ground. And when you pause, you begin to see what God is doing in your life. They have to pause to see his protection. They have to pause to see and hear his guidance. They have to pause to understand his care and his blessings of his grace as he calls them as a people and forms the children of Israel. History and the working of God are intertwined. And that's the first thing that I learned when I started to major in history when I went to college. You can't have history without God being a part of that history. They're intertwined with each other. They make a rope that holds you between yourself and God. And God works not in a vacuum, but God works in time and God works in history. And both are there as he shows the children of Israel and as he shows you and me over and over again. As he enters into our lives, as he becomes a part of our history, as he becomes a part of the events that we face and that we go through. I remember the Sunday after 7/11 in this sanctuary. We had people standing in the vestibule. We had people standing outdoors because there was a calamity in our history. There was a calamity which had touched all of our lives. And suddenly, religion and God becomes very important. And now we learn the lesson that God teaches us, that we all see God's grace and care in anything that we experience in our lives. So I paused this past week, and I went back to September the 11th. I went back to December the 7th, 1941. And I tried to see all of those things that transpired in the nations of our world in those periods of time. I went back to Korea with a man that I sat with last night at a birthday party. I went back to Vietnam and the people that I know who served in Vietnam. I went back to Desert Storm. I went back to Iraq. I went back to Afghanistan. And I remembered, I paused. And one of the things that came to my mind is to my left hand, lit in this sanctuary by two brothers who were both Marines, both cadets at West Point, to symbolize the fact that we are seeking peace and that that peace candle is still burning. We need to pause and to go back to visualize where we have been and in our visualizations, see how God has blessed us and not deserted us. If we pause, then we can remember. And if we remember, as painful as that may sometimes be, we will also realize that we have been blessed in the things that God has given to us. To remember is to see the whole picture, and to remember not only those things that are painful, but those things that are good. But not only to remember the good and devoid of the painful. We lose too far much of that thing we call history unless we remember and unless we see God's present. World War I was to end all wars, yet it didn't work. And we are still at the point of looking at Iraq and Afghanistan again, fighting a different kind of war. Not only on the ground, but an ideology that we cannot control or overwhelm. And there is the simple thing that came with God, that as he was with us in all of the things that we have gone through and that we have encountered, that we remember, we will also remember God's blessings and God's care in the turmoil that we experienced in the midst of the strife and the pestilence that was upon us. I distinctly remember September the 11th. I was walking down to the post office, and Mrs. Dumont was walking up the other way, and she said, a plane just hit the World Trade Center. I went to the post office, and I came back in time to see the second plane hit the World Trade Center. And then I watched in utter horror as it crumbled before my eyes. I could distinctly remember standing in that particular tower with some friends like Martha Rammelkamp. And we went to be there for lunch. And we walked over to look out of the window, which went from the floor to the ceiling. And I suddenly realized that I have trouble with height. As I looked down to see the Statue of Liberty about like this, and the ships over here, little dots. And then it finally hit me. The tower next to me is going that way, and I'm going this way. And then I'm going this way, and that tower is going this way. We were moving in the wind on the top of the World Trade Center. So I remembered that as I paused. And I remembered the fact that God did not desert us in those times that were crucial in our lives as a nation or as a people. And when we look back and remember the things that God has done, we realize that God does not desert us in any times of our existence. In our times of glory and wonder, or in our times of pain and anguish, in our times of peace, as well as in our times of conflict. As we remember, we need to see God in the things that we find in our lives, in our despair, in our loss, but also in our blessings that come to us as individuals and that also come to us as a nation. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. And we remember that. And tomorrow, we are called upon to do both, to pause and to remember. And I challenge you to do that. Pause and recall where you were in those points of history and those parts of history where we were confronted with change, pain, outrage, in struggle, and to find all of those things that we were helpless to do anything about, and then realize that God was there to be a part of us. Memorial Day is a day of remembrance. It is a day of those made possible for us the freedoms that we have. And we pause to remember their sacrifice. And then we find that as we pause, we remember the freedoms that we enjoy and the freedoms that we take so much for granted. It's a whole lot more than the beginning of summer. It's long rows of white tombstones in Arlington Cemetery with a flag fluttering in the wind. In places like Arlington, in cemeteries all over the world, where the fallen lie in the sacrifice that they made. It is more than parades and floats. It is the quiet moment of hearing taps being played for those that we remember, noting that the day is done and God is nigh. My challenge to you is the challenge that God always gives those he loves and he cares for. Pause. See what you have, where you are, where you have been, and then remember how you arrived here. You arrived by the love and the sacrifice of your brothers and your sisters shown to you in the love and the care of your God. Memorial Day is a time to pause. It is a time to remember. It is a time to reflect. It is a time to thank God that we are one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Happy Memorial Day. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for all the freedoms that you give to us, and we confess that we take them for granted. Sometimes we misuse them. Sometimes we aren't even aware that they're there. We are a free people, and we can gather in this sanctuary to worship you. We can do the things that we do as we live out our lives without fear and without trepidation, because we are a free nation, a nation under God. Come to us, draw close to us as a people, be a part of us as a nation, for we come in the name of Christ. Amen. We set before God our tithes and our offerings at this time.